The State Department wants to develop standards of construction and maintenance of federal buildings overseas. And, of course, the State Department has a lot of them. Lydia Muniz is Deputy Director of the State Department's Bureau of Overseas Buildings and Operations. She joins us now with more information about their Design Excellence Program. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So tell us what's going on. The State Department wants to upgrade the quality of embassies around the world?
Yes. What I wanted to start with for your audience is just sort of a brief summary of sort of the breadth of the OBO program, because I think that'll give people an idea of what we do and where we are.
OBO is Overseas Building Operations?
Overseas Building Operations. We are the real property manager for the State Department. We have 269 posts in 168 countries. We own over $26 billion worth of properties. And all told, we have about $70 million square feet of property around the world. So that's just to give an idea of the breadth of our program. Most of our program is driven by the Capital Security Construction Program, which was initiated after the bombings of our embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam. I think Congress at that time was very concerned with the security of the majority of our facilities, and as those terrible bombings showed, we were quite vulnerable. So for the last 10 years, we've had an appropriation of roughly $1.4 billion, which has driven a very successful construction program. We've completed 78 facilities, and we have about 34 in design and construction at this time. So that sort of takes us up to today. As we looked on those successes and the last sort of 10 to 12 years, our sense was that it was a good time to take a few moments to step back and to think about what direction we wanted to go in for the next 10 years, the next 15 years. And we looked around at other federal programs for design excellence, at smaller sort of state, regional, university programs, and thought it would be a great idea for us to look closely at what we were doing and really to improve the quality of the design of our facilities, but to improve that quality at every level.
What do you mean improve the quality? I mean, are you talking about being green or being secure or every layer of that onion?
I think we're talking about every layer of that onion, which is, I think, what makes our program unusual when you look at design excellence programs. I think that when some people hear the words design excellence, they think artifice. They think, so you're going to make the building look pretty on the outside. But from our perspective, it's really not about that. It's about executing a design at every level that makes sense. So to give you a few examples, it's everything from making sure our maintenance and operations people are involved early in the process and that we're thinking about things like maintainability of materials that are appropriate for the country in which we are. So we build everywhere from desert environments along the coasts where salt impacts our systems and our finishes to tropical environments. We can't have sort of a one-size-fits-all solution. We need to be very thoughtful about these different environments and how best to build in them. Sustainability is a very, very important part of our program. Obviously, for policy reasons, we want to be as sustainable as possible, but there are also really cost benefits to building sustainable facilities. It drives down our operating costs in the long run, which is something that we really want to support. So those are just a few examples.
Now, are you retrofitting some of the existing buildings with upgrades to make them more design friendly?
I think we're not going through a process of deliberately retrofitting existing facilities, but to the degree that we need to do security upgrades of the perimeter, for example, which is something that we commonly do, we want to be much more thoughtful about how those upgrades read to the public that passes in front of our embassies every day. As we've discussed, many people will never have the opportunity to visit the United States, many folks overseas. And so this is really all of the United States they'll see, and so the impact that it makes is important. It needs to represent the United States to the host nation in a way that's positive so that people sort of remember, admire, the building becomes a landmark of sorts in its community. So we're really trying to be sensitive about the impact, particularly at the perimeter that our facilities have. So the answer is where we can do upgrades, security upgrades, or upgrades to facility that sort of soften the edge of our embassies, we want to try to do that.
We're talking with Lydia Muniz, the Deputy Director of the State Department's Bureau of Overseas Buildings Operations. Now, I understand you have these guidelines and that they are in place with the Design Excellence Program, but doesn't it depend on the building itself and where it is? I mean, don't you kind of have to tailor some of these recommendations depending on the building itself?
I think that's a very good question. If you look at, anybody who's interested could go online at www.state.gov/OBO and look at our guiding principles and look at a highlight of the program. The program is not prescriptive in the sense that it says when you're designing a consular section, it should look exactly like this, or you want to use these materials. It's much broader in the sense that it addresses the point that you bring up, that anytime you design, good architecture is sensitive to its context. In cities, you're going to build taller. You build with materials that are locally available and in sort of a language that that makes sense in that urban context. So I think the way we've drafted the guidelines is really sort of is general guidance about how to approach design, and it's also restating that the quality of design from the inside out is important to us. And we hope by hiring some of the best American talent in these areas, from architects to engineers to constructors, that we're going to get a better product.
I guess the danger is you don't want it to come out looking like Osama bin Laden's house, which was secure, but looked like just a big white block. And you also don't want to have the issues that plagued the Iraq embassy for
right.
So many years.
I think
part of what sparked this whole overhaul and re-looking at the rules program?
I think the re-looking at the rules was really, again, we had a moment where we could step back and think about the direction that we wanted to go in for the next 10 years. So I think in many ways it was sort of about charting a path forward. But I do think that there has been, from a wide area of our community, criticism of some of the facilities. I think people appreciate that we've been able to build them, that people are in safer facilities. But I think there's a concern that they don't always sort of convey what we want to convey about America, right? About innovation, about green, about transparency, about openness. And I believe that we can do those things and still meet our security standards. I mean, I think that's the great thing about architecture and engineering and design, is that you can constantly address new challenges and new requirements in creative ways. You just need to bring on good people who can take a creative approach, as opposed to using sort of a fixed solution without very much thought in it, which can end up looking a little bit stark.